Okay, well, let's jump into this together. I know I kind of needed this, and I'm sure all of you feel the same way. There's a lot of things going on, but yesterday, again, we're reminded of the events of 20 years ago and just kind of relive the emotions and in some of your cases, the very sad, even devastating life changes that came across in your life as you faced 9/11. But we've seen the scenes. We've suffered in one sense with the stories of really hundreds giving their life to rescue the thousands of lives that were being taken, that were being in a just horrific fashion taken. And so there's a reliving of that event perhaps this week more than in the past. And I know I don't mind, Roz, I hope you don't mind, one of our greeters here, she shared her story from that event and just the testimony of what the Lord did that in her life. And many of you have shared your similar testimonies and stories with me. And all of us can share things that the Lord taught through that. But there are other things, even now, that our society is going through, our community, our families, and those are in the news, right? I'm looking out at people whose basements have been ruined, your cars have been ruined, some of your livelihoods have been ruined in one sense or another from these weeks. Then the last year and a half, right? I don't want to distress us all. And then there's individual cases. I know many of your stories that don't touch on any of those, but if people knew, you're hurting, and those things seem small compared to what you're going through, because it may be something deeply spiritual, and it's not just physical. And so I just, as we think through these things, we just want to refocus our attention on the Scripture's help for us. And the Scripture does have help, right? We find that in the pressure of these times, the Lord strengthens us, right? He actually allows the pressure to a certain extent that we become more beautiful. It's the resistant bands, the weights that build muscle. It's enduring under the weight that benefits, right? It takes 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit and 725,000 pounds per square inch of pressure for carbon to turn into something like a diamond, right? My tires are at like 38 to 40 in that car tire, that kind of pressure. Just imagine that compounded by, I don't know, exponentially amount to 725,000 pounds per square inch. That's a lot of pressure. Maybe you feel today like I am under that pressure, Tim. I'm like God is making a diamond out of me, and I don't really like it right now. Well, where do we go with that? How do we deal with that type of pressure where we bend but we don't break? How do we stay under that type of pressure? That's what James tells us, because it's not necessarily the pressure for a moment, but it's when we have to maintain it. We have to stay under the pressure for weeks or months or a lifetime. How do we stay under the pressure? And so that's what he helps us with today. I don't know if you saw the video. Our church just produced this. I was so proud of the work that these guys did. And really, the Lord put this together. But these testimonies of how the Lord used trials, and if you heard from Pastor John Lashaway, it wasn't just an event like a heart attack. It was years and years of pressure that the Lord used to build him and the lessons he learned there. So James helps us with it, and verses 10 and 11 are part of this. I think James is a difficult book to organize. How many of you have read James recently? Anybody? Right? Oh, several of you. Yeah, it's a great book. A great book. It's only 5 chapters. So if you're looking for a very practical book to read today, this would be a good one to jump into. If you read it, you recognize it's hard to get a flow of thought, because it's like he picks up an idea and he talks about it, and then it comes up again. And I thought you were done with that, James. And then it comes up again. And it's like these themes that keep coming up. He also has like a shotgun approach of really preaching, but it's like telling you practical advice. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do that. So it's really practical wisdom, life advice throughout the chapters that keep recurring as themes woven together in a tapestry that are whipping us forward in different life situations. And one of these is trials. In fact, if you have your Bible, look there at James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Wow, right out from the gate, he's going to get on this horse. He's going to talk about difficulties, trials. He picks up that theme all throughout the book, really. It goes down to verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres. That's our idea here. Who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. And so it's, you know, it's big in chapter 1 and it's big in chapter 5. And in between, it recurs as a minor motif. But chapter 5, he really brings it up again. And it's in this context. And so I'm going to look at chapter 5, the surrounding verses of James chapter 5. And here we have some real quick exhortations as he's ending the letter. He's writing this to Jewish people that are scattered all throughout the dispersion. This would be the people he's writing to, but that means all believers in Christ. He's writing to Jewish Christians who are facing trial. And a lot of their trial came because their properties were taken, their jobs were taken, they were pushed out of their community that they grew up because they received Christ. And so you could just imagine professing Jesus, and all of a sudden everything you knew to be stable is now unstable. Your friends no longer accept you. Your family no longer accepts you. Your job is taken from you. And so these are the people he's writing to. And he's getting on, first of all, wealthy people who are not helping. And so chapter 5, verse 1, come now, you who are wealthy. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. And so there's these individuals that are in that culture, and they're not helping those who have been hurt because of the conditions. Verse 5, you have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wants and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. And so there's these two ideas that keep coming up in these closing commands. And one is the fact that Jesus is coming very soon, and he's going to bring all of our actions into judgment. And then also, you got to get your life right. Okay, and so we'll keep seeing that. After verses 1 through 6, verse 7, he tells those who are being persecuted, who are going through a difficult time, to look at Christ's coming. Be patient, brothers and sisters. And so this is where endurance comes in. Just endure a little bit. Okay? He's coming. It's very soon. Verses 7 and 8. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And the farmer is able to wait and work hard, being patient. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts. The coming of the Lord is near. Right? And so that keeps coming up here. Third command for those who are in very difficult situations, be patient, wait for the Lord to take care of it. Don't take advantage of others, number one. And then number three here, don't complain about your brothers and sisters as they face difficulties as well. When we do, as a culture, face difficulties, we tend to complain more. We offer more and more criticisms of one another. And that's what they were doing in the church. And so he says, listen, don't complain about your complex Christian family because Christ is coming soon. Therefore, be patient again, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. I'm sorry, that's not the verse. Let's look at that. Verse 9 of James chapter 5. Verse 9, he says, do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. And so there's this temptation and difficulty to start infighting. And you know, you're irritated because life is difficult, because you lost your car last week, or because, you know, the neighbor was so frustrating because they lost their car last week. And so we're often decent to them, but then the people that you know well, you start complaining about. You start getting irritated with. You start picking it. And so there's this, well, they call it deflection, but I think that is a real concept. You're not actually taking out of the problem. Instead, you're taking out of the person that's close to you who will receive it. Very dangerous, and that's what they're doing. Do not complain. The idea would be murmur, right? Are you hearing, did you hear this about brother or sister so-and-so? Did you hear this? You start complaining about that. All right, what are we to do? If you're overtaken in a fault, you restore such a one, right? So if this is an issue, let's talk about it with them. If it's not an issue, then we shouldn't be talking about it, right? Did you see what Tim did? Right? Let's talk to Tim. Let's help him out. Please do, right? And so that's what he's dealing with there. We can't go into each of these. We got to keep moving. This is the one that we really need to receive encouragement from today. Number four, receive encouragement from the, I'm going to call it the prophetic pattern or prototype of endurance. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. This is very encouraging. And so he's encouraging us then to receive from the example of the prophets. We're going to do that for the rest of our time here. The fifth one, don't swear. I don't know if like the difficulties just cause you to swear. But the idea there would be actually make sure you don't exaggerate what you say. I promise you on a stack of Bibles that I'll come through for you. No, the idea is just say yes, you'll do it and do it. Say no, you won't do it and you don't do it. Okay, but above all, do not swear. So let's get to this verses 10 and 11 in your Bible. We're going to look at two questions that kind of unpack these two verses. Whose example should we take? And then verse 11, what should we take from their example? Whose example should we take and what should we take from their example? And you'll just see, as we go through this, we're just looking at the words. Paul says, preach the word. And so this is what he encourages Timothy to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to look at the words. We're going to exhort us around these words of Scripture, Holy Scripture. All right, so let's look at this as an example, brethren. Whose example should we take? So the commands already have been things like weep, you rich, be patient until the Lord comes. Don't complain about your brothers and sisters. And now the command here is the command, the word, what is it there? As an example, what are you supposed to do? What's the command? Take. That's the command. As an example of patience and suffering, take. So if you're under trial today, if you feel pressured today, the Lord has one word for you, take. You're to receive something. You're to take something today. It's like he has something to give to them. I like this. It's that's the idea. It's like, I have something and you need to take it. What is it? Well, it's a pattern. I kind of drew up this pattern for you, and I want you to trace it for your coloring book. Right, here's a pattern for a dress you need to make, hat you need to make, whatever. Here's the pattern, and I want you to take it and use it. Take it and use it. What am I to take? In fact, let me just kind of put it, I'll just translate it very literally. It says, pattern, take, brothers. That's the exact translation. Pattern, take, brothers and sisters. Take it, right? So the command is a little more obvious in the original. What am I to take? This pattern of the prophets, and we'll get to that in a minute. Who is to take this? As an example, brethren, right? And this is important. This is not going to be very helpful for you if you're not in the family of God. If you don't have Christ as your Savior, this is going to sound a little different as far as how to endure trial. And so he's going to begin here with acknowledging again that they are brothers and sisters together in the same family. What's special about James's family? Anybody remember? Yeah, half-brother of Jesus. Well, that's a special family. Well, he's not talking about that family, right? Mary was his mother too, James's mother too. Of course, Joseph was not Jesus' father by birth, but by being in the family growing up with Joseph. But anyway, James was there too. Imagine all the different conversations they had growing up. Jesus was never wrong. Well, he's going to just start talking to brothers and sisters that do wrong things. And he's going to encourage us in this family. But just we should just start here. You can't fake this. The ability to stand and endure is something that Christ allows his children to do. You're enabled by a new nature. It's not natural to be able to stand in this way. We need a new nature, a spiritual life that allows us to live this way. So these families, Christian family, needs to learn something. What are we to take? What copy are we to take? As an example, brethren, of what's our pattern? A pattern of suffering and patience. Oh, do you want to take that pattern today? Here's your pattern of suffering and patience of the prophets. And so this is our lesson. This is what we take with us. We take with us the suffering and patience of the prophets. And we need to copy this. We need to understand from them how we are to take suffering and patience. Suffering. No one likes to suffer. The prophets faced a lot of that. There's a lot of lessons in suffering. You look at the prophets, you find they're often without food, that kind of suffering. We can look at one verse here. I think I have it. Yeah, Hebrews 11, 35. Look at the prophets they're talking about from Hebrews 11, looking back on the prophets. Others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings, scourgings, chains, imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in half. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskin, goatskin, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Right. This is some serious affliction. This is some serious distress. I just kind of compare what you're carrying today. What is the stress in your heart, in your life? What is it that you're bearing up under? I think if we compare them, we can find their pattern would apply. If they're in my family and they're able to endure these types of things through this advice, okay, mine is lesser than that, so I will be able to endure these types of advice. But it's not just the affliction, right? It's suffering and patience. And that adds an element that I think is the element the Lord wants us to consider today. Because it's not just the event, it's 20 years after the event. It's the continual recurrence of this difficulty in my life. Right? The root word there has the word long in it. And so this trial that we're often bearing tends to go beyond what we can handle in ourselves, in our own physical strength. It's an endurance issue. It's an endurance, it's a marathon, not a sprint. We're suffering and patience under the suffering. They endured for a lifetime until death. Well, who were these? This is important. Who are these that suffered and were patient? These are the ones who were the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Take their example. These folks were prophets of God. who actually spoke in God's name, meaning God wanted them to be as representatives of His on earth. They are suffering patiently, not because of their stupidity. Sometimes we do that. We suffer some difficulty because we just did something wrong. Not because the earth is broken or other people are broken. But they are suffering because of the name of God, speaking for His name. God is coming quickly to sort this all out. But in the meantime, many of His people have to suffer. We'll take one prophetic example. One that jumps out in my mind is Jeremiah. I'm reading Jeremiah now. I like Jeremiah. Listen to this verse. Jeremiah came to this place because he spoke the name of the Lord and nobody wanted to hear. He's like, God is going to judge you, Israel, if you continue in sin. Okay? We're not going to repent. And you're silly. Like, they're just laughing at him. He continues to speak. And they start persecuting him. He continues to speak. They took Jeremiah, cast him into the cistern of Malchijah, the king's son, which was in the court of the guardhouse, and they let Jeremiah down with ropes. In the cistern there was no water, but only mud, and Jeremiah sank into the mud. Right, what a difficult picture. Lord, I'm speaking for your name. I'm sharing your truth. They're not believing me. They laugh at me. Because I'm telling them their deeds are evil and will be judged. And He loves them. He's not doing this to be mean-spirited. He knows it's what's best to say, you're sinning, turn. And they just, here He is sitting in the mud. Mosquitoes. Can't imagine. Jeremiah. This is a lifetime of oppression. It goes from bad to worse, though, doesn't it? Why? Because Jeremiah's prophecy comes true. God judges Israel, and He lives to see it. And He lives to see out of the well, He comes up, and it's worse. Dead bodies on the street. Children starving with no food. Most of the people taken away. Smoldering buildings. A city and land destroyed. He's like, why didn't they listen? Why didn't they listen? God called him to that. And he endured, and he endured, and he wrote a whole book in your Bible that is a book of tears. Just crying out, why, God? And he's just really describing that scene and crying. And God called him to that. And he endured. So we look at Jeremiah as a good example of this. As an example, here is someone who endured. Well, what do we take from their example? Let's get some positive lessons for us as we strive to endure. And some of you are enduring because family are turning their back on you because you're believing in Jesus. Well, how do we endure? What should we take from their example? Four things. First of all, verse 11, we count those blessed who endured. We need to reckon, consider, do the math, and come out to this conclusion. They are blessed. Jeremiah is blessed. Not because he gave up, but because he endured. And many times he wanted to give up. But there was a fire in his bones. He had to continue to speak the truth. We count those blessed who endured. They're blessed. They survived. They finished their course, and we count them fortunate. They're fortunate. These are the real fortunate ones. They didn't throw in the towel. They stuck it out under pressure in the will of God. And so each person who remains under pressure to the glory of God, continuing to lift the weight, are truly blessed. And so let me encourage you, brothers and sisters, endure. Be blessed. The strength, the diamond, comes from being in the rough place. Endure. Don't throw in the towel. In the will of God. in the will of God, if you know this is what God has for me and it's tough, stick it out. You're blessed if you endure, right? If you start out on a marathon and you give up after the first 20 steps, oh, come on, you're not blessed. Endure the spiritual marathon. This idea of endurance is a little different than this one. This one, patience up here, this one's a little different. It's the same concept. Patience has the idea of long. Endure has the idea of remaining under. It's actually two words in the original. Remaining under, one word. It's just two components to one word. Remain under. Right? I get the picture of that. I don't know if you read the book, World War II vet Louis Zamperini. And at one point, his persecutors are just wanting to make an example of him breaking. And he is malnutrition, been beaten, and he's asked to carry a beam above his head, just scrawny skeleton. And he endures, and he endures, and he endures, and he bears up under that weight until everybody knows he has won the day in his spirit. Right? He becomes a Christian later. But what a great illustration of bearing up under. What weight is in your life? I don't know the greatest weight in your life. I just want to encourage you, bear up under it. The blessing comes from continuing to endure. The grace of God comes. His sufficiency comes as you endure by His grace up under that weight. Because you're weak. We're all malnutrition. We're all beat up. And we need Christ to give us strength. What are you remaining under? Remain under. That is the blessing as you remain under the effects. One great example of this, Joni Erickson Tada, 17 years old. You probably know, diving accident left her paralyzed from neck down, right, in a wheelchair. Remain under like that guy. And she shares her story. In life, when I agonize with deep pain, I often look up from my wheelchair and plead, God, I don't think I can do this. I really don't. But you, with your grace, believe I can. So I'm going to trust you. It's not trusting yourself. It's trusting the strength that God can give. I'm going to stand in opposition to my reason and emotions and believe that with Christ, I can do this. This is the path of perseverance. It's hard, but it grows smoother every day. Every time you fight through the fear and doubt to embrace Jesus, travel that path enough times and you will be blessed with encouragement and sweet endurance. And then she quotes Romans 15, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you this same attitude. God's grace can give you strength to endure. Paul asked Jesus to take away the affliction. No doubt Joni asked God to take away the affliction, right? And sometimes he does. But often God says, I want my grace to be seen while you're bearing up under it. And I want the whole prison yard of life to see that I'm giving you grace to stand up under that weight. And so God left the thorn in Paul's life. He left it there on purpose. Because my grace is magnified in your weakness. And so we count Jeremiah blessed because he didn't give up, because he didn't give in. We count these believers blessed because they didn't give up. And so let me encourage you, you will be blessed as you endure. We consider the endurance of Job. Endurance of Job, he mentions this one. Someone hit my clock. Okay, we get going to move quickly through these last two. We consider the endurance of Job. Here is someone who really endured a great amount, right? Take, for instance, the endurance of Job. What a significant example of endurance. He lost everything. I find many lessons in the book of Job. I enjoy looking at the book of Job as a way God helps us deal with the problem of evil. Why do I have to face difficulty? And we've done several different studies on that. And so we find that in Job. But what's interesting here is when James is talking about Job, what does he focus on? What positive life example does Job? Because Job, in the middle of that, gets pretty testy. He starts cursing his birthday. Instead of singing happy birthday, he curses his birthday. He's lost his family, his children, all of his possessions, and then his health. His wife tells him, curse God and die. His friends come a week later, and instead of helping them, what do? Just heap condemnation on him. And so he's dealing with that. He's dealing with all this stress. He is enduring. And he starts complaining against God, and he starts complaining against his friends. And James could have said that, but he brings out the positive in Job. You know what Job did do? He endured. He did not give up. He did not curse God. He continued to live, and he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And it was that pressure that allowed him to come forth as gold, Job says. The fire of affliction, recognizing as we do that the fourth man in the fire is Jesus himself. So Job is a great example because he endured. He endured to the end. Well, how did he do that? We need to get to the last two here, the most important, because we've seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. And so we find that in Job. We find Job 42, that the Lord blessed Job, right? We see the outcome of the Lord's dealings. We look at the way the Lord works. We have to look at the way the Lord works in life and believe it. You may look at the outward and recognize things just on a temporal way, in a temporal way. And so we may look at Lazarus, and we may look at the rich man, and we may say, well, one of those looks like they're doing good, and one of those looks like they're doing bad. But that's just temporal. That's just a few short years on earth. Eventually, it's the rich man who is begging Lazarus for comfort in hell. And so we have to recognize there is the end of the story. We know the end of Job. It's a glorious thing. Life is short, and God actually allowed Job to rejoice in the land of the living. And so my brothers and sisters who are going through years of difficulty, I pray that. I say, pray, Lord, please allow Brother Kim to rejoice in the land of the living here in his eighth year of great trial. Young Kim. May he see this even, we know in eternity, he's going to be great. He's going to be jumping around, but Lord, help us to see even in the land of the living this testimony of release and some still waters. And yet the Lord often allows us to keep enduring until the end. Keep continuing, keep remaining under the affliction, the difficult family setting, the difficult situation in life, the cancer. Right, the nagging thing that comes to your mind first when you think of the weight in your life, and you recognize the Lord may have it in my life on purpose to both strengthen me and also to glorify his name through giving me endurance, and it's his best to allow me to have it. And so we say, give me grace, Lord, to endure, because it's just a little bit of time. It's all so short. And that's what James is saying over and over. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. He's right there. Just hold out a little bit longer. It's just a short time. See, if our life is all about the here and now, if that's all your life is about, you don't understand this at all. But this is not the way Christianity is. Our life is all about eternity. Right? The here and now, yeah, we have ups and downs. We have great difficulties in life. We're promised that. But what if this was just the doorstep through which eternity comes and God has promised fullness of joy in that eternal state? That's what the Bible says. And that's what he keeps fixing our eyes on. This is the dealing of the Lord. He fixed everything through Jesus so that if you trust in his sacrifice, you'll have eternal life in heaven. That's the end of his dealings. That's the end of his dealings. A place where there'll be no tears, no suffering, no persecution, all will be with him right. And so it's just a few moments, just a little bit of time. I'll give a quick silly illustration here. My parents got into running about 10 years ago. And so they were running marathons and half marathons, and I was cheering them on. And so now they're getting all of our family into this. And so once a year, we do something like this in March. My parents still do this each year. But what's really cool along the way is that you know at the end, you're going to have Krispy Kreme donuts, as many as you want, and pizza, as much as you want. And it's so helpful, right? You know, I did that 70.3 in our church for the building fund Monday, and I was riding with Pastor Andrew's dad. And about mile 30 on the bike, I started talking about cheeseburgers and Five Guys cheeseburgers. And that changed your dad. His eyes lit up. And I was like, there's one pretty close to where we're ending. Boom, 10 miles an hour faster. It's like, because you know, this is just a little bit. And you're being stronger from going through it. We understand that exercise. And then it's done. Right, and so sometimes we're bearing under in life, and the Lord's just saying, okay, I can take that weight from you, but you know, it's really helping you, it's purifying you, and the donuts are coming. Right? So just wait, Tim. Just endure just a little bit longer. In his grace, often he takes it away. But sometimes he asks us for his glory or for our good, to continue to endure, even in the affliction. And so we have to realize the end. Look at the end. Look at the finish line. Look at the telos, the outcome, the culmination of all this God's doing. And we have to understand this. I won't get into all of it. We have to understand this. God sees you there. In his eyes, you're in heaven. If you're born again Christian, he sees you there. There's no time in his mind. I am seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians tells me. He sees me there. So it's just a matter of time of my life until I'm there. And then the last thing, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. We need to keep our mind on the quality of God, the character, who he is. And when my circumstances are telling me something different, are preaching something different, I have to get back in the Bible. I have to get back with my brothers and sisters who will remind me of these things. No, Tim, you're saying God is evil, and you're wrong there. God is good. God has allowed this in your life. I don't understand why, but he's good. He's compassionate. The idea would be he feels with. It's the idea of internal. Your internal, where you feel these things. You feel empathy inside. You feel this compassion when you see someone hurt. It's that, and then it's many, the same word. It's like much compassion, full of compassion. And so he describes God as someone who is overly concerned and feeling your pain. That's what he's describing here, is God. It's true. He's not aloof. He sees your pain, and he feels with you in that tender, gracious word. And he's merciful. He's not giving us what we deserve, but he's treating us with mercy. He's feeling with our infirmities. He's coming in Jesus, dying in our place, that he might know all of our infirmities, know what it feels like, know the cruelty, the rejection. He sees it. He felt it, and he feels it in your place. And so this is what Jeremiah did in closing here. This is what Jeremiah had to do as he walked out and saw the blood, the gore, the destruction. He composed this song of mourning. But right in the middle of it, he put this gem. He says, remembering my affliction, the wormwood and bitterness, life gave him this bitter taste, and he wants to spit it out. Surely my soul remembers that, and I'm bowed down within me. So as we remember even the bitterness of these recent events or 20 years ago with 9/11, there's this remembrance that calls us to be bowed down and bitter. So we have to go back to get our eyes on something greater and remember that this is true. This, therefore, I recall to my mind. Please do this today, later today, sometime this week if you're struggling. get Lamentations 3:21 through 25 and just let God affirm that to your heart. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses never cease. He says that in a smoldering, blown up city. God, your loving kindnesses don't cease. I don't understand, but I affirm it to be true because I know you would never lie. His compassions never fail. He is feeling with me in my difficulty. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And he says, the Lord is my portion. I don't need an inheritance. I don't need a house. I don't need that which I can pass on to my children. Because the Lord is my portion, and he's what I'm going to pass on to my children. The Lord is my portion, my inheritance, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. You have him, you have everything. And you can rest and wait. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, endure to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me encourage you to do that now. The Lord would have to supernaturally allow you to do this based on what you're bearing up under. And I just pray that he'll do that now. Just ask you, Lord, to help each person to embrace and affirm these truths in their heart. To not allow the waves to get their eyes off of you, Lord Jesus. But to embrace as true that in this endurance you are still good. And you'll give us grace to endure tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Lord, please give strength for each person to roll their care upon you and admit and acknowledge that you care for them, that you are concerned about them, that you are compassionate and merciful. Just encourage you in this quiet moment to talk to the Lord about that. There's no clearer demonstration of this than the gospel. If he did not keep back his son, Jesus, from you, he will not withhold any good thing. If you would like to pray with someone, I'll be standing in the back lobby, be happy to pray with you about this. But let's all talk to God in the quietness of the moment. Talk to God about this truth and affirm them as true. Let's pray.